Wow. Well, good evening. It is always great to be with you here at Grace Church. It feels like coming home here. Burleson is home to me as far as in the U.S., so thank you, Pastor, for inviting me once again. And tonight, I just kind of want to talk to you. You know, I'm not necessarily going to preach a sermon, but I want to just share with you about the exciting things that God is doing in Vietnam. Now, I've been here multiple times, and many of you know me, and you're familiar with my story, and you're familiar with how I ended up in Vietnam. But for those of you who don't know, I'm not going to go into that, but 10 years ago, something really, really terrible happened, and which changed the course of my life, and through a long roundabout way of things, the way things happened, I ended up in Vietnam, and now 10 years later, I am seeing fruit of what God is doing in Vietnam. And it is so exciting, and I'm so excited to share those stories with you tonight. Recently, my dad came out to Vietnam, and he was there during the war, and for him to be able to come and be out there, it was healing for him, and for him to be able to see what God is doing now. I share that just to say that if there are any Vietnam vets in here, God is doing something. He is changing things in Vietnam. Now, I pastor an international church. River Church is what it's called. I also direct the River Educational Consultancy, which we do humanitarian projects with that. We work with children. And I just want to say right now, though, a huge thank you to Grace Church, because you've been supporting me for I don't even know how many years now. A long time, even though it looks like I've only been in missions for like 3 years. But it's been a long time. It's been close to 20 years. You know, it's wild to think that, but you guys have been supporting me faithfully monthly. You also just sent an offering recently to help with some of the renovations that we're doing on our building. And so all the stories that I'm about to share with you, your fingerprints are all over it. You have a part of it. It's not just Amy Farley that's going and amazing things are happening. Grace Church here in Burleson, you are a part of everyone who is coming to Jesus in Vietnam. You are just as much a part of it as I am, because I can't go without you. So let me just say thank you. Thank you for giving faithfully. Thank you for supporting missions so generously, for making it possible for me to do what I'm doing in Vietnam. Now, I pastor a church there. And not long ago, a pastor from Hong Kong, his name is Ed Yeo, I think, but he pastors a large international church in Hong Kong. I mean, we're talking thousands of people, and he's got multiple campuses. And for some reason, he comes to Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, and he somehow gets my number and calls me up, and he and his wife want to take me to lunch one day. And the funny thing is, they took me to a vegetarian restaurant. Now, I don't know, a lot of you don't know me, and you may not remember that I am a super picky eater, and the one thing I don't eat is vegetables. And so that was interesting, going to a vegetarian restaurant. But we went to this restaurant, and as we were talking, and I didn't realize he was the pastor of that church, but as we were talking, he shared that with me. And at one point, he leaned over the table to me, and he looked at me, and he said, "I'm jealous of you." And I'm just like, I mean, I'm already feeling inferior at this table. And he goes on to say, "I'm jealous of you," he said, "because you get to be in Vietnam." And he said, "Everybody knows it's Vietnam's time. Everybody's talking about it, how God's getting ready to do something in Vietnam. And I'm jealous because you get to be there." And it was just this incredible moment where like just chills were going down my arms, because in the church in Vietnam, we have sensed that. We have felt that ever since COVID, just like this, we're on the verge of something great. And I would still say we're right there. We're not quite to that tipping point yet. But God is doing incredible things in the nation of Vietnam. This nation has never seen a revival. This nation has never seen an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we are seeing God preparing to do something incredible. So I want to ask you, Grace Church, partner with me in prayer, believing for greater things. That was our theme at River Church this year. Greater things, because God is getting ready to do something that is so beyond beyond our comprehension, our understanding, our imagination. And I'm looking at you guys and you're not feeling the same excitement that I have. Like, I mean, it's so exciting. I wish you could be there. I wish you could see what God is doing in Vietnam. It's just, it's unbelievable. And I can't believe that I get to be a part of it. And again, I'm thanking you that I get to be a part of it. You know, I'm even trying to think where to begin here. We have a church, and River Church, we're not large, but since March, we have literally doubled in attendance. And it's not because Amy Farley is amazing. It's not because I'm doing anything great. It's just because the Holy Spirit is moving and working. And it's just this incredible season of growth. And we had to go to two services. And we're just about to outgrow two services. And it's just incredible. Now, I want to be honest. Our building is small. So we're at about 200 people right now. And we have to do two services. I don't want to make it sound like we have thousands. I don't want to speak evangelistically, you know. I want to be honest, but it's just this exciting season. People are getting saved. People are coming. And you know, along with that, though, I don't want to pretend there are no challenges, because not long ago, we were looking at possibly buying a location. Now, I don't have any money, and it was going to cost $2 million, but you know, I mean, God's our provider, right? And well, my faith actually was quite small in this. Someone in the church, a Vietnamese business lady, was like, "Pastor Amy, we have to go look at this place. It's perfect." And I was like, "We don't have any money. Why would we go look at it?" And so we go look at it, and I never should have looked at it, because it was perfect. It was everything we could want. And I looked at it, and it's $2 million, and I'm like, I don't even want to raise $2 million. I'm like, I just don't even want to do that. But it was this amazing facility, and I was like, her name was Kim Ahn. I said, we don't have $2 million. You know, this is a great place, but we don't have $2 million. And she was so cute, this little Vietnamese lady. She's like, "But Amy, God can do anything." And I'm like, "You're right. You are exactly right." So we stopped and we gathered and we prayed right there and just believed, "God, if this is the place, you'll make it happen, and you'll make it happen in the right time." And we were getting excited about this and the possibility of it. And then the issue we have, something I need you to pray about, is we are still not licensed. We are still not a legal church. Now, we have a deal worked out with the police, and we are in the process of trying to get licensed, and we've been trying to do that for, well, ever since 2019. It's just a long process, and the police and the authorities have been difficult, and they work against us. And the idea of buying, and we weren't going to buy something until we have a license, because then we buy something and we can't meet there, and you know, you understand. But all this to say, I don't have $2 million, okay? So we met with them, and they sent us to a place because they said, "We think we can help you get a license," the people who were selling us the building. And we're so excited because we've been working on this for like 4 years. And we go to this meeting, and afterwards we walk away, we all get in the car. They basically told us, they said, "The police said they're not going to give you a license. They're never going to give you a license. We can't do anything for you." We got in the car. I cannot tell you how heavy that car ride felt. I wish I could tell you a miracle happened, but it hasn't yet. But I said to the people, I said, we're all in the car, and we're all quiet, and we're all, you know, feeling really down. And then the Lord brought that scripture to my mind in Proverbs. I can't remember exactly where, but how it says, the Lord, he holds the heart of the king in his hands, and he turns it whichever way he wants. And I just shared that scripture, and I was like, we're just going to pray, and we're just going to believe that at the right time, God's going to move that heart, and we're going to get this license, and we still don't have it. And so I'm asking you today to be praying with us for that license. It will open doors. It will change things for us. But I need people who will pray that God at just the right time will change that heart. And you know, we're getting ready to celebrate Christmas here, and Galatians 4:4 talks about how he sent Jesus at just the right time. That's who our God is, at just the right time. I tell River Church all the time, God is never early. As much as I wish he was early, he is never early, but he is also never late. He is always right on time. So we are walking in faith, and we are praying, and we are believing that we will get that license from the authorities at just the right time. So I need you, Grace Church, to stand with me in prayer for this church license. But in the meantime, we still have church. And I post all about it on Facebook and I haven't been sent to jail yet. I don't think I will be, but I'm just open and we're just growing and we're just celebrating and we're excited. Like this last year, we had our very first women's conference. We had 150 women come to the conference. We had a men's conference. We didn't have as many men. We had about 80 because guys just don't seem to like to get together and have fun like ladies do. But we know God, man, he spoke and he moved in the hearts of our men. It was incredible. Just all these amazing things happening. So we're still moving forward in faith, believing that God is going to open the right door. God's going to provide the license. When it's time to move, he's going to provide the location. Now, we still have to play games with the police. You know, sometimes they'll say, you know, don't... Okay, communism is really ridiculous. This isn't live streamed, is it? It is? Okay. I won't repeat that phrase. You heard it once, okay? But it's ridiculous. We play these ridiculous games. Like they'll call us, you know, actually a contact we have in the church, and the police will say, like, you shouldn't meet for the next 3 Sundays because we might come just to inspect the building, and if we do, we have to shut you down if you're having church. That they'll do that. They never do it like on a Monday morning. It's always like Friday night. They tell me this, and it's the idea that they know we're having church. But they have to pretend like they don't know we're having church and come and check out the facility. And so we've done that multiple times at the last minute where we got to go back online. And we hate online. I mean, COVID, we hate those days and we never want to go back to that. But so we've had to do that. But we've actually made a decision at this point through the wisdom of Vietnamese people who have helped me, that when they ask us to do that again, we just won't do it. We're just going to continue having church. So there are challenges. There are difficulties. So I'm about to tell you some great stories, but I just want you to know the reality that not everything's perfect, but there are lots of great, amazing things happening. So the Lord can work incredible ways, but you're also fighting the enemy at the same time. And that's where you, Grace Church, while you may not physically be in Vietnam, you were with me when you were praying for me. You were with us when you were praying for our church. So thank you for that. There are prayer cards outside for you. But this past Easter, we had this incredible experience. Now, Vietnam is a Buddhist country. And people are, I mean, it's more than just a religion. It's who they are. It's their culture. So to walk away from Buddhism is to walk away from who you are. It's to dishonor your parents, especially if you're the oldest child in the family, because they have, it's not really Buddhism, but they have the ancestral altars in all of their homes, whether they're Buddhist or not. And as the oldest child, it is your responsibility to carry on that altar to pray for the ancestors. And so there are, it's not just a, you know, here it's like, oh, I've decided to follow Jesus. I mean, there might be some difficulties, some things you have to walk away from, but they literally have to walk away from everything they've ever known to follow Jesus. It's not a quick process. It's not an easy process. But we had this one young man who comes from about an hour away. He drives, and we all drive little motorbikes there. I have a little red Vespa. And so he comes from about an hour away. And so he had a friend of his who is Buddhist that had called him up on Easter Sunday and said, hey, can I come and pick you up and drive you to church today? I want to go to church with you. And the guy says, sure. So while they're on the motorbike driving to church, because you can actually have a conversation. I mean, you might not know this, but you can have conversations when you're driving on a motorbike. It's wild. It's wild to me. I don't know how they do it, but they do. And so they're having this conversation. And the guy who on the motorbike who's driving, the guy who already comes to the church, he's saying to him, he said, man, I've been having these dreams. And he said, in my dreams, there's this bright light calling out to me. And he said, I don't know what it is. But he says, you know what? I know Buddhism is powerless. He said, I know those idols are powerless, but I don't know what this dream is about. And so he comes to church that morning. And it's so cool how God works out the details. Because Saturday night, I'm looking over my sermon one more time, and I'm kind of making notes of some things, and then I remembered a story from way back when I was a children's pastor of a little girl who had a dream and how Jesus revealed himself to her through a dream. And I just kind of made a note in my sermon. I was like, oh, I think I'm going to share this story at this point. And when I shared that, that was the Holy Spirit working and putting the pieces together. Because when I shared that story, he turns and looks at his friend and he said, it's Jesus. It's Jesus who's calling out to me. He said, how can I be a Christian? And literally that day I was able to pray with him and lead him to Jesus. It is incredible what God is doing. If you have a lost loved one, a lost friend, you know what my prayer is now for everyone? God, give them dreams. Give them vision. God, speak to them in their sleep. Reveal yourself to them. And this young man, he has been faithful and he has been attending regularly and he's being discipled. And it's just, it's an incredible thing to see a life radically changed by Jesus. And I didn't do anything. That's the amazing thing. I was just obedient. I didn't do anything. It makes me think of Philip when God told him to go stand by this chariot. And he goes and stands, and literally God just uses him. And it's not, I cannot express to you enough. I am just an ordinary person. I am the most ordinary of people. I am no one special. I have never been anyone special. I'm telling you this because God can use you in those same ways when you make yourself available to him. When you say, lead me, when you wake up and your prayer in the morning is, Holy Spirit, lead me today where you want me to be. Give me the right words to say at the right moment today. Because God can do it here just as much as he can do it in Vietnam. And then a few weeks later, we had a couple, a young couple that knew someone in the church, and they had been having all kinds of problems in their lives. And you got to understand, in Vietnam, it's all about luck. You know, we say, oh, so lucky. We say that here, and we don't literally really mean luck. But for them, luck is everything, and it's a real thing. It's a spiritual thing. But so this couple is having all kinds of bad luck. This is wild, you guys. I mean, like, this is God. This is what God does. Because this couple called a feng shui spiritual advisor to come to their home to feel the spirits. This is not a believer. This is some kind of feng shui spiritual. I mean, I know you arrange furniture and that's feng shui, but apparently there's spiritual advisors to it. I don't know everything to it. So this feng shui spiritual advisor comes to their home and is feeling the spirits and says to them, the Spirit of God is in this place. You need to find a church. Like, what? I'm still, when I think of that, I'm like, what? Are you serious? And then they come to church that Sunday, both of them get saved. And I'm just standing back here going, what are you doing, God? I don't have to do anything, God. You're amazing. My prayer has been, God, bring us people whose hearts are prepared and ready for the gospel. And Grace Church, pray that over your church. God, send us, bring us people whose hearts are prepared and ready for the gospel. Now, when I became pastor about 6 years ago, something the Lord put on my heart was there's three large university campuses within a mile of our building and nothing happening. And I thought, God, we got to do something, God. You know, we got to do something. All these big campuses, we got to start something. But I don't know how to start a university ministry. And so I started talking to a friend of mine in the U.S. who does Chi Alpha, which is a university ministry. And I was trying to get him to come out. And then COVID happened and he couldn't come out. And so 3 years ago, finally, 3 years after the Lord put this on my heart. So 3 years ago, he came out and he helped us get something started. And none of the kids are believers. We come together on Friday nights. I mean, they like invade my home and they stay till like 1 a.m. I'm just like, go home. But they come and they hang out and we've been doing it for about 3 years now. And we do a God talk every Friday night. None of them believers, but we always do a God talk. They know that's something that we do. So again, I'm emphasizing for 3 years, no believers. And then this last summer, this one young lady, she goes by the English name Ivy. She gets radically saved. I mean, this girl, if you could have seen her before and see her now, it's unbelievable what God has done in her life. And she is just so on fire. Everywhere she goes now, she's preaching Jesus. I mean, there are times when I'm with her and I'm like, Ivy, okay, you know, hold back just a little bit right now. You don't have to preach Jesus to everybody. And that's pretty bad when a missionary is saying that. but she's so radical and on fire and just preaching Jesus everywhere to everyone. And then the incredible thing is on Friday nights, you know, when we'll have a conversation, and several times I've noticed her all of a sudden point out to someone and be like, you know what? I think this is what's happening and this is what you're doing. And I've seen her do that multiple times. And I looked at her one night and I said, Ivy, I think you may have the gift of prophecy, because let me tell you, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit at River Church. I said, Ivy, I think you may have the gift of prophecy. And she's like, ooh, spiritual gifts, what's that, you know? So I'm talking to her and helping her as she's learning that. And she's just like leading all of these kids, just constantly sharing Jesus to them. And then not too long ago, another one of our girls, Kiara, completely unexpected. She's like, because they call me Pastor Amy, even though they're not Christians. And they come to the church a lot. They're not Christians, but they like to come to the church. And so she says, Pastor Amy, I want to meet with you. And so I sit down to meet with her, and totally shocked me. She said, I've been like secretly reading the book of Matthew. And she said, I'm ready to commit my life to Jesus. And again, I'm sitting here like, what? Like, I didn't do anything. She just, the Holy Spirit was working and revealing himself to her, and this incredible moment. And then we had another student from Laos, and Laos is a closed country. I mean, very closed, more closed than Vietnam. And this little girl, Honey, and she's coming one Friday night at the gathering. We call it the gathering. And she's there on Friday night, and we're talking about peace, actually. And her and another young guy, he goes by the name Happy, because that's what his name means in Vietnamese. But they're talking, and I'm not usually this bold on Friday nights with them, but all of a sudden, I just looked at them. I said, I'm sorry, I just got to say this. I said, you're searching for Jesus, and you don't even realize it, because you're searching for peace, and true peace is only found in Jesus. And they didn't get saved at that moment, but they both received that word. And of course, Honey was crying. And then I'm like, can I pray with you, God? Can I just pray right now? And they're like, yeah, let's hold hands. Let's pray. I mean, they love holding hands and praying. I don't know. It's kind of weird to me. I'm not all into to doing that all the time, but they love it. You know, even though they're not Christians, they love praying. What I'm telling you is that the Holy Spirit's working in these kids' lives. It's what I call pre-salvation discipleship. You know, yeah, I want them all to radically commit their lives to Jesus, but they haven't all done it yet. But every Friday, we're gathering. Sunday mornings, majority of the time, they're all in church, even though they don't know Jesus yet. And then 3 weeks ago, okay, if you're on Facebook, you got to look me up, and you got to find this video. Because 3 weeks ago, we baptized 4 university students. It was unbelievable. It was so powerful. My heart overflows with joy when I think about it, because these kids, these lives that have been radically changed with the love of Jesus, and I didn't tell them to do this, but every one of them prepared something that they wanted to share that Sunday. And so they all had their little notebook, and they all 4 stood there before the church and read this whole thing about what the Lord had done in their lives. And 2 of them were just sobbing as they read it. And I had people come to me after church who've been Christians for a long time. One lady came to me crying, and she said, seeing those kids, it just reminded me of what Jesus has done for me. Because we can forget about it. It's so common to us. It's just what we know. But oh, may it be as real to those kids as it was for them that day. May it be that real to us, that it would move us to tears, what Jesus has done in our lives for us. And then we don't have, I don't know, you have a baptismal somewhere, I'm assuming. We have a bathtub. That's like the best we could do. I bought an acrylic bathtub, and we pull it up there for baptisms, and getting ready and baptizing them, and they come up, and they just, there's one, if you go on Facebook, there's the picture, there's one where the girl comes up out of the water, and she's got both her hands in the air, and she's just smiling so big, and then they all give me this big wet hug, and I still have to preach afterwards, but this is what was so cool. Just to let you know, I mean, sometimes, and we shouldn't, but sometimes we write off young people. Sometimes we write off this generation. But I can tell you, this young generation in Vietnam, God is doing something in their lives. Because we did baptism in the middle of worship. We did 2 songs, then we did the baptisms. These kids, They're soaking wet, but they don't go to change clothes and dry off. They just stand there for the rest of worship, worshiping. And I'm just looking and I'm like, Jesus, I love these kids so much. They're so great. You've done such an incredible work in their lives. And it's amazing that I get to have a front row seat. But again, the only thing I am doing is being obedient to what God asks of me. That's all I'm doing, and that's all you have to do. And I believe you can see miracles and you can see the book of Acts in your workplaces, in your homes, in your church. You just have to be obedient, giving God everything and just praying, let it be, Lord. May those people in my workplace speak to them in their dreams, Lord. Call them, give them new visions, Lord. It can happen. And that's what I'm praying over River Church. God, do it. Let the book of Acts be now. Let it happen here in Vietnam, Lord. Ivy, this little girl I told you about, the one that got radically saved. This is the Holy Spirit's wisdom because I'm not that smart. But she's talking to me one day and her dad is just telling her how stupid she is for reading the Bible and just berating her. And she's coming to me and she's talking to me about this. And of course, you know, I was like, I prayed with her and told her I'd continue praying. But I just looked at her and I said, you know, Ivy, I said, your dad really loves you. I said, he just doesn't understand. He's scared for you. He doesn't understand this and he's afraid for you, but he really loves you. I was the Holy Spirit's wisdom, not mine. And then she goes home to her hometown because she lives outside the city. And she went home for a week and she comes back. And I'm, how you doing, Ivy? How was your trip home? And she's like, it was wonderful. I had such a great time. And I'm like, oh, wow. Has he changed his heart? Is he being a bit kinder? She said, no. He still says I'm stupid. But my parents just love me so much. So it was really cute. But I, you know, if you can, pray for these kids because it's a lot. It's a lot, the steps they're having to take. The one little girl, Kiara, that just got saved, she played Mary recently in our Christmas program, and I wish you could have seen it because her face was just shining and so pure, and God is doing it. God is still saving people. God is still moving. God is still working. And this little girl from Laos, you know, I told her, I said, let me get a Bible for you in Lao. I said, it'll be easier for you to read, for you to understand. And she's like, no, there's no Bibles in my language. She said, no, they would not have a Bible in my language. And I was like, just wait, I'm going to find you a Bible. And then I was able to give her this Bible in Lao. And she was like, what? I can't believe there's a Bible in my language. And it was the most surreal thing giving her this Bible, because as I sat with her and I gave her this Bible, now here you give a Bible to someone and they understand, you know, they know what it is. Usually they have a basic understanding. I give it to her and all of a sudden I'm like, I need to explain this book to you. I was like, okay, well, there's an Old Testament. There's two parts. There's Old Testament and there's the New Testament. And I'm like, maybe don't read this part yet, but you know, I felt so incapable. I'm like, I'm giving her this book. She has no idea what it is. And even though she recently gave her life to Christ, she was sitting in my apartment at my table one day, and we started talking about Christmas. I was getting ready to come to the U.S., and I was like, honey, do you know what Christmas is? She goes, I know it's a big festival that you guys celebrate. I was like, but do you know what it is? And she said, no. And then I was able to sit down and just tell her, ah, it's when Jesus was born. It's the time that we put aside to celebrate Jesus' birth. It's just so refreshing to work with people who are so hungry and so open and literally know nothing. Don't take for granted what you have here in the U.S. Don't take for granted the knowledge of the Word of God that you have. Even if you feel like you don't know the Bible, don't take for granted what you do know. And can I say this too? Don't take for granted all of the resources you have in English to study the Bible. I don't remember if I told you this story last time I was here, but not a few years ago, the Fire Bible was translated into Vietnamese. It took them 20 years. It's a study Bible written with a Pentecostal perspective. And it took 20 years to get this Bible fully translated into Vietnamese. And I was there when they had the celebration and they gave me a Bible. Now I'm trying to learn Vietnamese, but I'm not fluent. And so they give me this Vietnamese Bible. It's the first study Bible ever in the Vietnamese language. And they give me this Bible, and I'm kind of like, this is really cool. But I was like, I can't read this, so why did they give it to me? You know, I was like, I need to find somebody who can use this. And my friend Elizabeth, her mom is a pastor. She's one of the Kaha people, one of the minority groups. She's about 7 hours from where I'm at, so I sent the Bible. I was like, give it to your mom. She can use it. She's pastoring a couple churches out there. And I give her this Bible, and I don't hear anything about it. And then probably a month or so later, I was getting ready to go out there, and the Bibles had been released now for everyone, because at that ceremony, it was just specific people that had a few Bibles. And so I got like 20 Bibles, I think. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to surprise them. I'm going to give them all these Bibles for their church. And I'm sitting with her mom. She doesn't know I have these Bibles. And I'm sitting with her, and she's talking to me, and she's telling me, oh, thank you so much for this Bible. You know, she goes, we, because she had like 6 kids. They're all adults and all married. So, you know, huge family. And she's like, we actually have a sign-up sheet as to who can use the Bible, what day and what time. Seriously. And then they said, yeah, we've been fighting over it. And then they have their phones and they take pictures of certain of, because there's articles in it. They take pictures of the articles and stuff so that they can read them. And then one of the ladies said, because the Bibles were about $25, which is expensive. And one of the ladies was like, yeah, I'm going to save up money so I can buy one. And then I got to be like, wow. I've got something here for you, you know, and give them these 20 Bibles, and just the tears coming down their face and over the Bible. Well, you probably have 3 or 4 sitting on the shelf in your house right now, but the Bible, and can you imagine how when you have a study Bible with real study helps, if you've been a pastor and you don't have resources in your language, can you imagine, Pastor, what a difference that would make in how you preach and how you pastor? But I tell you that, I didn't go buy 20 Bibles out of my own pocket. You guys were part of that. Your monthly support provided for that. You did that. You gave those Bibles to that little Kaha village. You were making an impact in Vietnam. You were making an impact with those university students who one by one are starting to give their lives to Christ. I believe we're just getting started with those kids. And let me tell you, these are the future influencers in Vietnam. God is doing incredible things in the nation of Vietnam. And we are right there, I believe, for the greatest outpouring that nation has ever seen. And you know, God, I've learned I can't do everything. So if anybody wants to come to Vietnam and help me, I would gladly welcome you. But I've learned I can't do everything. I mean, and that sounds maybe funny, but until you really learn that in life, you're going to be stressed out. Because I have more vision than I can do. And one thing that's been on my heart, so it took 3 years before the university ministry was started. And now it's taking 3 years, so I want you to hear that. People didn't start getting saved right away. It took 3 years of investing in relationships. So whoever your coworker is, your family member is, that you desperately want to know Jesus, it might take years of investing in that relationship. But it took years to get that started and then years for them to get saved. And now something else that has been on my heart for several years is a heart for the creative community in Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam. Because there's really creative, the whole, you know, all the whole gamut of creativity, photography, art, music, everything. There's a huge creative community in that city. And they are some of the most lost people on the planet. And they are never, ever, well, barring God speaks to them in a dream, which we already know he does, they are not just going to show up at church one Sunday. And I have a creative edge to me. And so I've just been praying, God, I want to do something. I want to start something, whether we have art exhibits or whatever it is that we do, just so that we can start to connect with that part of community. We can start to build relationships with that part of community. But it's been a couple years. It's been on my heart. And I'm like, I don't know how this is going to start. I don't know when it's going to start. But I want to do this. But I can't take on something else right now. And a few weeks ago, a lady, she's newer to the church, and she's from Malaysia, and just she's a big-time designer and such. And she asked to take me to lunch one day, and I'm sitting with her at lunch, and she's like, you know, Pastor Amy, I really want to start like a creative catalyst team. And I was like, oh, cool. You know, so what do you want to do with this? And she starts telling me, I would love to have a space for art exhibits, for photography exhibits, just places to bring the creative community together and impact them. And I literally looked at her and said, you are an answer to my prayer. I said, I have been praying for this. So I don't know. We're just getting the wheels turning with that. But if you would be praying with me for that, because man, if we can get the creative, here as well in the U.S., they tend to be the most lost people. Not that there are categories of lostness, but you know what I mean. But can you imagine once the creative community gives their lives to Jesus, once the Holy Spirit changes them, can you imagine the impact that will have? So if you'll pray with me for the creative community. So I've given you guys a lot to pray for today. You want to pray for the creative community in Vietnam. You want to pray for this River Church license. You want to keep praying for these university students. And then you want to pray for Burleson, Texas. If you're not praying for Burleson, Texas, then I want to say there's something wrong with you. But I won't say that. You need to pray for Burleson, Texas. Pray for your neighborhood. You guys, are you in high school? College? No? You're just adults? Okay. Okay. I guess that's right. They have youth groups, so the teenagers wouldn't be in here. Okay. I was like, pray for your schools. Guys, it's burning on my heart right now. And I've been preaching, and I started preaching it recently at River Church. And I've challenged the people in the church by the end of January to read through the book of Acts 3 times. I want them to read it over and over and over. I want them to get it in their spirit, because the only way this world is going to be changed, the only way things are going to change, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not going to change by who we elect as president. It's going to change by the power of the Holy Spirit moving and working in our churches. And oh, that God would do it in Vietnam like he did in Acts. And oh, that God would do it in Burleson, Texas like he did in the book of Acts. Can we begin to just pray, God, stir up that hunger within me. God, light that fire within me. Do it today. Do it now. Let us be a part of it today, Lord Jesus. Can you just stand to your feet? Can we just pray? Can we just ask the Holy Spirit to just come? Is that okay? Can we just pray that today? Let's just declare that today. Let's just believe that. I want to hear you praying. If you guys have prayer language, I want to hear you praying in your prayer language. Father, right now we are believing and we are declaring your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying your kingdom come, your will be done in Ho Chi Minh City as it is in heaven. We are praying your kingdom come, your will be done in Burleson, Texas as it is in heaven. God, we want to see the power of your Holy Spirit moving like it did in the book of Acts. God, as we gather to pray, as we gather to believe for miracles, may the place be shaken like it was in the book of Acts. Holy Spirit, would you lead us the way you led Philip to the young Ethiopian eunuch? Would you lead us today to our co-workers? Would you lead us to our neighbors today, to our lost relatives today? Oh God, do it again. Let it be today. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us. In Jesus' name I pray.